But actually, I also do some research for the Society for American Baseball Research, SABR, organization. So what I'd like to do is run a tape while we're talking and make it into an interview, and I'll actually send a copy of it into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Along with it, because we try to do oral histories of different ball players.
Okay.
And then whatever, you know, we have here, we'd like to make available to any other researchers and so forth.
Yeah, that's good.
So let's go back. When did you first get interested in baseball?
As far back as I can remember, I've always remember just going and playing ball, when it was down at the schoolyard, or you know, starting off a t-ball. You know, I've always been involved in it.
So you started like at real early age, maybe five or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, as early as you can, I think.
Why do you suppose that was? Was your dad, or I don't know if you have any brothers or anything.
I have an older brother. You know, he played sports growing up. Yeah, you know, I had an older sister, a lot of cousins. You know, a lot of cousins in Peabody that all played sports. You know, it was just part of the family. We all just love playing sports.
What's your brother's name?
My brother's Ed.
Is he much older than you?
He's 28.
And you're what?
I'm 24.
24, yeah. So several years younger, yeah.
Yeah.
And you, did you go on from T-ball and play like Little League and stuff like that?
Yeah, I played Little League, played Babe Ruth, played a little Legion ball, and then I got into the Junior Olympics, where, you know, I did a lot of traveling, playing with the New England Mariners. And doing a lot of traveling with them, and it was just something I loved to do. I mean, it never seemed like a job. It was always fun.
Right. Yeah. No, that's good. The what kind of position did you play catcher all the time, or did you play different positions?
When I started Little League, that's when I became a catcher, and from Little League on, I caught always.
So it was like, what year did Little League start, around 8 or 9?
Ten. It starts a little boy, when I got up to the 10, 11, 12 range, you know, on the diamond. That's when they turned me into the catcher.
Right. Yeah. We all need somebody to catch, right?
Absolutely.
It's not the most popular position.
No, nope, not at all.
Yeah. So how'd you do in junior high and then in high school?
I always played well. I mean, it was fun for me. You know, I love playing, and you know, we had some pretty good teams. I remember growing up, you know, I always played well. You know, I think it was more of me being an athlete rather than just a baseball player, because I played, you know, football and basketball growing up as well.
Right.
You know, it was seasonal, and never really thought it would turn into a career. But you know, being a younger kid and a decent athlete, it helped me out a lot.
What's your brother end up? What's he doing?
Right now, my brother's, he works a debt consolidation.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So nothing to do with sports.
No.
Yeah, he just didn't maybe have the same talent or interest
Right. He played college lacrosse. He was a good lacrosse player in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he played some college lacrosse, and, you know.
What's your dad do? I talked to him for about 20 minutes, but I never actually asked him what he did.
Yeah, he worked for John Hancock. He's retired now. He worked for John Hancock Insurance for years.
He's my age, so he must have taken early retirement.
Yeah, he got early retirement, yep.
Because he's going to be 56 come in March.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So sometime in high school, you attracted attention of some scouts.
Yeah.
Do you remember how early that was?
I think it was my junior year.
Yep.
You know, we had Kevin McLynchy. I don't know if you know who Kevin McLynchy is.
No, I don't know.
Kevin McLynchy is with the Atlanta Braves right now.
Okay.
He was in the Greater Boston League, and he was highly touted as a, you know, one of the top, you know, players and pitchers in the country, and Mike Spinelli.
Were they both in Peabody?
No, one was from, Kevin McLynchy was from Malden, Mike Spinelli, it was from Revere.
Yeah.
And they were always scouts at those games.
Right.
And it just so happened that they noticed me as catching and, you know, seeing a kid that, you know, I was, you know, a decent-sized kid, you know, could run well, you know, had some power, had a good arm, and started, you know, noticing me. And then by the time my senior year, there were scouts always at the games watching me play.
So they first came to check out those two guys.
Yeah, they were checking out the other guys, and they happened to notice me.
What did they notice the most, do you suppose? I mean, you mentioned a few things, but
yeah,
you were pretty good defensively, I guess.
Defensively was definitely what got me into, you know, professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a strong arm. You know, I think one of the games where, you know, we were playing against the Revere team, Mike Spinelli was the pitcher, and in that game I threw out three or four guys stealing, and, you know, it was a good game for me. Then, you know, it turned into where, you know, in between innings when you throw down a second base, the scouts would ask me to do it as quick as I can so they could get times on me and that type of stuff. So it was definitely the defensive.
What teams do you know that were scouting? Picked up and had a conversation with you.
I had a conversation with the Dodgers, obviously the Red Sox. A lot of teams. Pretty much every team came around one time or another. I remember the Dodgers specifically and the Red Sox.
Did you go through the draft?
Yeah, I got drafted.
Okay, yeah. By the Red Sox?
Got drafted by the Red Sox.
What, you graduated in 95?
Yeah, I got graduated in 95 and got drafted in 95.
So that's about the same month, more or less? What month does the draft, did the draft
June.
By Stanley?
June 1st.
June, yeah. Do you remember what round? Well, you must remember what round.
Fifth round. I was in the fifth round.
Fifth round. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I'd remember for sure.
Yeah.
It was Buzz Bowers.
Yes.
Was the scout that,
yes.
In effect, signed you or?
Yes.
Did that? So how did that process work? Where were you? Where was the draft held that year? Do you know? Is it all done by phone or?
Yeah, I think it's all done from wherever the team is. You know, they'll probably go in and have meetings and you know, phone calls and stuff like that. I received a phone call, on June 1st. We were still playing our high school season.
Yeah.
And, the draft day was there, and my coach said, you can go ahead home and, you know, wait for the phone call, and, you know, the Red Sox called me and told me I got drafted, and I just went up to the baseball field, you know, and told, well, my family was there. I told my family it was a, you know, big day for us. And went up to the baseball field and told the coach and the team and then started practicing.
You didn't want to get hurt right away, though.
But
you got to keep playing, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You had a pretty good idea the Red Sox were going after you from conversation you had beforehand? Or
honestly, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, no one in my family, we've never dealt with that before.
I don't know if they're allowed to talk that much beforehand. I don't know how it works really.
As long as you don't. If I had at the time I signed a letter of intent to play football at Boston College.
Oh yeah, your dad said you got a 4-year scholarship.
Yeah, and so with that I couldn't have an agent because then I'd be considered a professional, and that would nullify my scholarship. So I had to. You know, basically, my family and I had to do it all on our own when the phone calls would come in, and that was a big deal too. You know, a lot of the teams didn't think they were going to draft me because they thought even if they drafted me, I would still go play college football.
Who did the Red Sox pick ahead of you? Do you remember?
Yeah, the first pick that year was Andy Yount.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a
got injured, didn't they?
Yeah, he got hurt and never really panned out. And Corey Jenkins, they had two first-round picks that year, Corey Jenkins. And the second-round pick was Jose Almeida. Third was Jay Yanako from New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mike Spinelli was the fourth-round pick.
Oh, okay.
And then there was me.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Mike Spinelli was in there, too. I remember hearing his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you a Red Sox fan as a kid?
Oh, absolutely. Always.
Did you go into many games at all?
Yeah, as many times as I could. I try to get there opening day every year. That was at the point where it's just before our baseball season started, you know, and you could be getting going there and see opening day. And I remember me and my friends getting up there in the bleachers and watching the games, and it was fun.
What do you figure you went in, maybe 4 or 5 times a season or something?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I used to go in a ton, actually, myself, but then again, I wasn't all that good playing, otherwise I'd be doing that probably. After you signed, then you went back out and played that very day.
Yeah, went out there, went to practice, and we had a couple more games left.
Not when you signed, but after you were drafted, I should say.
After I was drafted, yeah. So I wasn't signed yet.
Right. Yeah.
But went out there and started playing. We had some more games. We had some playoff games. We were in the, we were in the playoffs that year, and we ended up losing in the first or second round. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was a matter of getting me signed and down to Florida and playing.
How long was that process before you actually got signed?
It took a little while. It was, I think, less than a month, but, I got down here in time enough to play in rookie ball, my first year in 95. And it was important for me to sign in 95 and not hold out,
all the way. Well, you would have had to let BC know. For one thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I had to make a decision before spring practices started. Fall practices.
Get ready for the fall season.
Right, get ready for the fall season.
Did you pick up an agent then? Like,
still couldn't have an agent.
Oh, okay.
Not until after I signed.
I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you worked out whatever with them. Now, Buzz Bowers got more involved in that process, and then was there somebody else involved?
Yeah, they had Wayne Britton, who's head of scouting. It was the head of scouting
right.
at the time.
Still is, right?
Yeah, still is. And he basically took over from there, and you know, that type of stuff. So,
How did you progress then? You went that right away in the middle of the summertime. You went down to Florida?
I went to Fort Myers, Florida.
Right,
came down here
and
played in not very many games. It might have been 20, 30 games down here in Fort Myers in the rookie league. And then from there, I went to the instructional league in '95.
And was that in Florida too? Or?
Yeah, it's all in Fort Myers. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then you know, from there, I went. You know, the following year was my first spring training, and then I went to the New York Penn League.
What team were you? Was that with
the Lowell Spinners?
The Spinners, okay.
Yeah, that was before they had the big stadium, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you actually got to play. What's that? 10 miles from home or something?
Yeah, it was real close. Real close.
Yeah, Fort Myers was where you went to spring training, where everybody gathers at once down there.
Yes.
The big club and all the different farm systems in
yes.
the complex, yeah.
Yes.
So then you came up and did that season with the Spinners?
Yep, played there, finished up the year there, went to another instructional league, then another spring training, then I went to the Midwest League, played in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, the Battle Cats, yeah.
Yep, for the Battle Cats, '97. Then from there I played winter ball in Hawaii.
Huh, yeah.
'98 was in the Florida State League. Playing in Sarasota, then in '99 I started back in Sarasota for a month or two, and then went up to Double A, Trenton, and then from there I was called up to the big leagues in '99.
Yeah, that's what I was, you know, getting to. Of course, how your game that you were in was October 3rd,
mm-hmm.
I guess. How much before that were you actually called up?
That was the last game of the year.
I had
21 days in the big leagues, so 20 days.
So you're up there for 3 weeks or so,
yeah.
pretty much. Yeah, just working out with the team and
yeah.
ready in case they needed.
Yep, yeah. Going out there, taking the batting practice and that type of stuff, and you know, getting the pitches ready in the bullpen and you know all that type. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So tell me the story about that day. I mean, I looked it up and I read the box score and stuff. It was the last game of the '99 season. And the
right.
Red Sox had already clinched the wild card.
Right, right. Oh, it was a great situation. I mean, the team was winning.
Camden Yards, right?
It was in Camden Yards. Yeah, we were. You know, it was a tight ball. It was a tight ball game. It was nothing ball game actually. And they were giving the you know the starters a break. And in the fifth inning, they called down the bullpen and said, you know, get ready, you're going to go in the game. It was just unbelievable. You know, it wasn't nervousness, it was anxiety, it was just anxiousness.
Did you have any sense that you were going to get a call that day, or were you thinking, oh, geez?
Well, I had assumed it. I knew I was going to get a chance to play. Jimmy had been telling me, you know, you're going to get in there, you know, but they had their own agenda getting ready for the playoffs, too,
right,
and
sure.
it's, you know, totally understandable. You know, so I knew at one point the opportunity was going to be there.
But then you came down to October 2nd, and it still hadn't happened.
Yeah,
you must have been wondering.
Yeah, well, a little bit. You know, I was.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was just kind of taking up space there for a while, but no, I got my opportunity. You know, unfortunately, offensively I didn't do as well as I wanted to. Defensively, I threw out a couple guys.
Who started the game behind the plate?
Jason Veritek.
Okay, and did Hedberg come in after you at some
point? Yeah, they brought in Wakefield to close the game, and
they needed him to
yeah,
catch the knuckleball. Or
yeah, well, not that I don't think I could have done it, but I had never caught him.
Right.
Well, I had in spring training, but the whole year, and then to just go in there and catch it. Plus, we went in 1-0 at the time in the 10th inning, and they
yeah.
didn't want to take any chances, so
right.
they brought him in to close the game.
But I guess it was a pretty wild game in a way, because reading it, I guess in the first inning, Scott Kamenicki hit Valentin.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a payback for Pedro
yeah.
having hit Brady Anderson.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who was in turn, you know, getting back because Nomar had gotten hit. And,
right.
And that was the time that that hit Nomar's wrist, right?
Right.
That's the wrist he's still suffering from.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think. And so it was, you think 20, with the Orioles 20 games out.
Right.
Know, they wouldn't be.
Well, I mean, the two series that we played against the Orioles, we cleared benches both series.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it was an experience, nonetheless.
So you came in, and who was throwing at the time for the Red Sox?
I brought in Brian Rose.
Okay, so it's been another pitcher starting the game?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you and Brian came in together?
Yeah, me and Brian came in together.
I actually met the two of you at one point for about 30 seconds at a Jimmy Fund function in January of 2000,
absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely.
Up at the 600 Club.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you guys were up there, and Nomar and Pedro were up there too, and
right.
a few other people. But
right.
Yeah, that's
that was a nice event. Yeah.
So who started the game? I don't recall right now.
The starter. God, I should probably remember that.
Well, I've got it in the box score. But so you and Brian were actually both out in the bullpen then.
Yeah.
And the two of you came in.
Yeah, Brian came in the game. We came in the game together, and then I think it went Derek Lowe, then Rod Beck, then Tom Gordon. All the guys I caught.
Wow. Yeah.
They just brought him in one inning after another. Got an inning.
Well, Jimmy used 27 players in that game, so he was really getting everybody some work.
Yeah.
Of course, that wasn't. I mean, they didn't use that many usually, because of course, when you have 25 man roster, you can't even lose more than 25.
Right.
But I mean, he was giving everybody a little bit of time to play, but still, what a tight game. I mean, it wasn't like a 17-14 game,
right? Right. It was a good game, and the Orioles pitchers actually pitched a great game. I think they had a no hitter going into the seventh or eighth inning.
Hmm.
Combined no-hitter between two pitchers.
Yeah, yeah. And then did you pitched the fifth, sixth, seventh?
I caught. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth.
And the ninth, right up to the tenth inning now.
Yep.
Yeah. So then, as you said, Wakefield came in and Hatterberg came in to catch him as it happened, and the Red Sox put a run over.
Absolutely.
And then held it and won the game.
Right.
It's a nice way to end the season.
Absolutely.
Too. I'm sure Jimmy wanted to win the game as well as just get everybody a chance to play.
Right.
Too. So when you were batting, you struck out both times?
Struck out both times.
Yeah. Do you remember whether it was like, you know, call swinging or anything?
I got struck out. I struck out my first at bat. I chased it. It was a 3-2 count. And, I was just so over anxious. He threw a fastball. It was a kid I had faced in the minors before.
I was going to ask you who you're batting against.
B.J. Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Was that one of his first major league things?
I think it was. Yeah, he had just been called up.
Yeah.
And I chased a fastball that was out of the zone, And then I got to another 3-2 count, and I thought the pitch was a ball, and he rung me up on it. So I thought I had good at bats. You know, the outcomes weren't good. You know, it wasn't like I got up there and struck out on three pitches.
Well, no, I mean, if you took seven pitches.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
If you took
piled off a couple balls, you know, it was, they were decent at bats, and you know.
And you remember who you cut down?
I threw out Jerry Hairston. Did I say the junior?
Hairston
Jr. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Hairston Jr. and Eugene Kingsale.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't think you'd ever forget that first game.
No.
So then, from that point on, what did you do the rest of that season? Did you hang around while the Red Sox were in the playoffs and watch?
No, they sent me out to the Arizona Fall League actually.
Okay, so fairly quickly.
Yeah, actually, the next day. I flew home, packed up my stuff, and flew out to the Arizona Fall.
So you didn't get to see a single playoff game in person?
No,
then.
No.
It's kind of too bad.
Yeah, I know. But it was. I was happy to be playing. You know, Arizona's a good league. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. And I don't know what this 80% of players that play in the Fall League is supposed to be make it to the big league. So, I mean, it was a place where I wanted to be. You know, I would much rather have been up there for the playoffs, don't get me wrong. I mean, they made a great run at it. But, you know, I was out there playing, getting better and stuff like that, so.
That league goes into December or something?
No, actually it ends just before Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're out there for a while, then you come home again for the...
Come home and then just go get ready for spring training.
Right, yeah. And then tell me about 2000.
2000.
The last couple of years you've gone through.
Yeah, it's been tough with injuries the past couple of years. 2000 started off. I started off kind of slow in 2000. I was in Double A Trenton, and I, all of a sudden I turned it on. And just after the All-Star break, I blew out my hamstring pretty bad. And
tear it or just pull it?
It was torn. Yeah, I tore my hamstring, and. Was sent down to Fort Myers, and I mean, basically wasn't even able to walk for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I did that playing softball a few years ago.
And yeah, and you know, it was a high hamstring, you know, up towards the butt area, so it wasn't, I mean, it was the thick of the muscle, and tried to come back from that, and you know, came back and was actually rehabbing it down in Fort Myers, and it was one of my last games I was playing before I went back up, and I was playing in a rookie ball game, and I got run over at the plate in a rookie ball game, and it blew up my groin.
Mm.
So that kind of ended my season right there.
What, when you say that, what kind of, there was a muscle?
Yeah, my groin muscle.
I've never heard of a groin muscle, actually.
Yeah, well, it's, I don't know the exact, they call it the groin.
Yeah, okay.
That's a, you know, it was a groin pull, so.
There's two muscles that come in, right?
Yeah, I don't know which muscle I pulled, but, you know, that kind of, it was on the same leg, so it kind of ended my season that year. And then this year, you know, things are going really good.
Where did you start off this year?
I started back in Trenton.
Okay.
Started off in Trenton. Put up some good numbers there. I mean, I was catching the best I've been in years. I mean, probably the best I've caught, you know, defensively throwing out, I think, close to 50% of the runners or most. I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went up to AAA and, you know, hitting 300 in AAA and continuing to do well.
When did you get up to Pawtucket?
I got up to Pawtucket, let's see.
Around June or something? Or?
Yeah, June, late June.
Yeah.
Late June. I forget exactly what date. It was late June. I was there for a little over a month, you know, getting towards the end of the season. And then I, during batting practice, I thought I was standing behind the screen, and somebody hit a line drive and hit me right in the face. And
this is out by second base?
Yeah, out by second base. Yeah, I was helping the shortstops. You know, they would take, you know, practicing double plays, and I was just taking feeds at second, and I had the screen in front of me, and this is something I've done every day of my career. You know, as a catcher, you don't want to get in their way in the outfield and that type of stuff, so you help any way you can, take some throws at first or whatever, and it's just so, and, you know, a throw from the shortstop pulled me away from the bag at the same time a line drive was hit, and it hit me right in the face.
Was it one of the guys on your team?
Yeah.
Do you know who it was?
Edgar Clemente.
Oh, okay. I think your dad said he thought it was James Lofton or something, but I'm not sure he was actually with the team at that point, was he?
Yeah, he was still, James was still there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he must have felt bad too, of course, but
yeah.
It's one of those things. I mean,
right. Oh, it was a total accident.
Sure.
But, you know.
I always wondered why more, I mean, there's so much action going on during batting practice.
Well, you'd be surprised. A lot of guys get hit during batting practice by balls.
But not like that.
Not like this, yeah. This was, you know, and even then when I got hit, I knew I got hit hard, and at first I didn't know I was bleeding. And, you know, I had the laceration above my eye, got 20 stitches, and then I thought that was it. I thought that was the only problem I had. I didn't realize it was going to be, you know, I fractured my orbital bone. Orbital, yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, I had some, you know, damage done to my lens in my eye, so I've just been basically down here trying to get back from, you know, seeing well and, you know, get back in the swing of things again.
It's been kind of fuzzy, the vision, for a while.
Yeah, well, it's because there was so much hemorrhaging in my eye.
Swelling.
Swelling and the blood. I had a blood in front of my retina and behind my retina, so it takes a lot of time for the blood to clear out of there. See, when I first, you know, the first couple of weeks after I opened my eye, I couldn't see out of it because of the blood in front of my retina. So it's still funneling out. I kind of get floaters in my eye where the blood moves around and stuff like that. You know, it's just in my vision. But they, you know, from what they've said, it's going to come back 100%, you know. And it's only been a month and 2 days now since it's happened. And so, you know, the doctors tell me it's still early in the healing process.
What day was that happened then?
August 17th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost 2 months, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you just seen Bryce Flory get hit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's before, I guess.
Right.
End of last season.
Right. And I went to the same doctor, and he told me that the damage done to his eye was a lot worse than what was done to my eye.
Yeah.
Thank God, you know.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know about the Tony Conigliara story.
Absolutely.
You heard about it probably as a kid, but certainly after this accident.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You would have heard about it. Yeah. Well, that's good that that's coming around.
Yeah.
I guess so well. So what? How much do you want to get back to the major leagues?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It really is. You know, I'm still at a young age. I'm only 24.
Yep.
You know, but to get the taste, you know, when I was 22, you know, didn't seem like so long ago, and then having been back there, and you know, knowing that if I hadn't had these injuries the past couple of years, I might be there. But it just, it's going to make it all more, that much more sweet when I get there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, you got mentioned in the Globe last week. You probably saw it or somebody.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Well, they mentioned, you know, they're talking about catchers, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen with Hattaburg.
Yeah.
And because I guess of course they don't even know about Veritek.
Right.
There's some question about how well that's healing, I guess.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows for sure whether his nerves are right position or something. And
right.
I guess they feel good about Mirabelli.
Yeah.
But the Hattaburg might get traded or something. And they mentioned you as sort of one of the top guys in the system that they actually have available for trading. And, you know, you never know. If you get traded, you might end up getting the better shot.
Absolutely.
Because you're number four in line, I guess you'd say, right now, right?
With the three guys from the big leagues,
right.
yeah. Absolutely.
And, but, you know, there's a good chance one of them might not be around next year, but still, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we got some good catchers up there right now. Guys that, you know, they do a good job and they've got big league time is what it is. I think that's the biggest thing.
Well, yeah, it's not like they're 30,
they've got experience.
39 years, 40 years old or anything either.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, they've got big league experience and they've earned their shots, and I just gotta wait for mine.
Yep. Well, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
From day to day.
Yep.
Anything can happen. One of the things I started out doing with this project is looking up people that had only ever played in one day.
Oh, really?
In the major leagues. And there are a few, actually, for the Red Sox as well. There's a guy named Andy Merchant. You may have heard of him. I don't know.
Merchant.
Some of these guys are fairly obscure because they really didn't play very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just sort of wondering, from your standpoint, I mean, geez, what would it be like if it just didn't work out, that you never got another chance to get back there? You tried for another 2 or 3 years?
Well, I'm not thinking that way right now. I'm confident enough in my ability that I'll get there.
Yeah,
you know, whether it's with the Red Sox or not, I hope it's with the Red Sox. But I think I'm talented enough and I'm confident enough in myself that I'll be there.
Well, I don't want to undermine your confidence.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying you are. I'm
right.
Not,
okay.
I'm not
no,
saying
just,
you are.
I was just thinking about how. I mean, I know how I could only guess how I would feel if I strove for something my whole life. And first of all, there's the person that never makes it,
right?
You just work, you spend like maybe 8 years in the minors or something like that. You just never make it. And finally, you just give up and go on to something else. It's just not going to happen for whatever reason. Or you suffer an injury that really does end your career and you just have to give up that particular thing, go on to something else. That's one thing. But then there's the person that goes up and has a taste for a day and for whatever reason, I mean, you know, they may get run over by a subway car and lose a leg the next day. You don't know what it would be, but something happens and they just never get back. And
right.
I just wondered how devastating that would feel after all the work that you've put in for years and years and years and just never get back there again.
I know. I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine.
Well, let's not think about that anymore. Let's think about having you come up this next season and help out the team.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, that sounds better, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're basically working out every day now.
Yeah.
You're in Fort Myers.
In Fort Myers, yeah.
And you use the Red Sox facilities down there?
Yeah. Actually, they're running an instruction league right now for all the kids that were drafted this past year and top prospects. So they got a lot of people over here and the trainers and stuff. They have a rehab coordinator that's down here all year round, and basically I'm working with him.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good situation because, you know, for the time I missed, I'm able to keep my baseball skills in tune and stuff like that. So.
And you're starting to face some live pitching again?
Yeah, actually BP and that type of stuff I've started about a week ago.
Yeah.
Batting practice. I haven't gotten a live pitcher yet. Nothing against.
Not
you know,
in a game situation type of thing, but just taking tosses in.
Yeah.
Somebody's throwing to you when you're hitting.
Yeah, batting practice. Home. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's working out okay.
Yeah, so it's been, I think it's been going well. You know, from where I was to where I am now, it's been an unbelievable improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not done yet, so it's not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so,
it may time out perfectly.
I mean,
you know, you got 4 months to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You have to even start thinking about serious play. What might you do? You might keep out there, or is there some place you might end up going
in? Well, they got winter leagues that go all the way into January, so you know, if we get to a point where the Red Sox say, hey, you know, why don't we get you out there and get you playing again, get you ready for spring training, I'd be more than happy to go.
Yeah, that'd be the best thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, get going. When you were a kid, who were some of your favorite ball players?
I never had any particular one. I liked Wade Boggs. Wade Boggs,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, he always always getting hits, always getting on base, you know. I like Mike Greenwell growing up, but Jim Rice, you know, I remember, you know, my father was a big, big Dwight Evans fan. He always talked about Dwight Evans, Colin Fisk. You know, I remember a lot of the guys that, you know, from when he watched, I was too young or not even born. But, you know, a lot of those guys, great players. They had a lot of great Red Sox players. Clemens, obviously, you know, he was with the Red Sox. Just a lot of different guys. Mo Vaughn, I mean, he was, you know, one of the, you know, best hitters in the game when I was in high school. So, you know, and that's a guy you looked up to, too.
How about the Yankees? What did you think about them when you were growing up?
I don't think I had the animosity that, you know, longer Red Sox fans, you know, guys, people that have been around a lot longer. But I tell you right now, when I'm playing in the minor leagues against the Yankees and the Red Sox just don't get along.
Hmm.
I mean, it's in the minor leagues and the major leagues.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it comes from the top to the bottom. I mean, everybody knows that the Yankees and the Red Sox don't get along, and it starts in the major leagues, and you see it up in the major leagues, and you know, it's funny. It's real funny. It happens in the minors, too.
So when I was a kid, I mean, I really hated the Yankees.
Yeah.
This team, I just can't hate them.
Yeah.
They seem like, you know, pretty decent guys. They play well. They play clean.
Yeah.
Joe Torre looks like, you know, seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
I can't muster up the
reason why people would hate him now is because they're so good.
Well,
it's envy hate.
It's envy hate for sure, and just give somebody else a chance. Jeez,
right.
I mean,
right. But if you're on top, you don't just give it up.
You can't.
You got to get knocked off, and no one's done it yet. So
right.
You got to tip your cap.
So what teams would you play? Who is the Yankee team that you'd play then?
When I played in the Florida State League, they were in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
They were the Tampa Yankees in the Midwest League. They were the Norwich Navigators, not Midwest League, excuse me, Eastern League, Norwich Navigators, and I was in Trenton, and up in AAA, they're Norfolk.
And there really would be the teams would get up a little bit more for the game.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, sometimes at the major league, some of those players will deny that. And you know, I actually talked to Jimmy Williams about a week or so ago, and he made it sound like, it's no big thing, just another team. And you know, I just, of course, you can't always believe what people say. But
right.
that's really fascinating that you'd feel that way. And it wasn't just like, hey, this is a team we want to beat, but there's a little bit of extra feeling in there, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, how does that manifest itself?
I think it might be a situation where we know that they're the Yankees. You know, we're players. We're not in that organization. And, you know, they're probably the best organization around from top to bottom.
Yeah.
You know, they go out there and you see their, I mean, from uniforms to batting practice jerseys to warm-ups, you know, all that, they got everything, and they're all looking good and pretty and this and that. And you get, it's probably envy hate, basically, you know. You know, they got all the top of the line stuff. Their stadiums are always beautiful. You know, you just want to go in there and kick their butt, basically, and you know, show them that, you know, even though they got all this stuff, that doesn't make them better ball players.
Right.
You know, and I think that's where it comes from.
Well, hopefully, the title turns someday here.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the Red Sox dynasty.
Right.
With Lemazny behind the plate.
I'm looking forward to it.
What'd you think about the clubhouse in Fenway when you? I mean, boy, coming out of Fort Myers.
Yeah.
It's like shrunk or something.
Right.
By the time you get to Fenway Park.
Yeah. It does. It does. But I mean, that's the mystique about it. I mean, it's
even
still
Pawtucket,
the same.
It's like twice as big as Fenway Park.
Oh, absolutely. Easily.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just part of Fenway. I mean, you know, I didn't even think twice when I first walked in there. I didn't even think twice about how small it was. I was just happy to be up there and
for sure.
You know, happy to have a locker and a name on my jersey.
People, what number did you wear?
56.
56. And did you have a say in that? They asked you.
No, that was in my locker.
It was just there waiting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know at some point you might have a chance to.
I hope so.
Pick a number.
Yeah.
But that depends on what's available, obviously.
Right.
Any of the veterans, Red Sox veterans, you know, you remember them welcoming you? I mean, you're up there for
every single one of them.
They all
came up and congratulated me and said, you know, welcome to the club. You know, they were great. Mike Stanley was one of the first guys I saw when I came in there, and you know, he was great. You know, everybody was.
Do you ever get to know Johnny Pesky much at all?
Oh yeah.
Something I'm doing a book about Johnny
now. Yeah, I know Johnny very well.
I don't know if you ever ended up working with you much,
Absolutely.
Given that you're, you know, behind the plate as opposed to an infielder or something. But
Right. But, you know, when he likes to sit next to the younger guys when he's in the dugout, you know,
right.
during the spring training games and, you know, throws his knowledge around because there's a lot of it.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Who would you say is one of the hardest throwing pitchers that you've caught?
Velocity-wise?
Yeah, well, just, I mean, they say some guys, well, there's speed, and then they talk about other guys having a heavy ball. Or
yeah, well, a guy like Derek Lowe throws a heavy ball, I mean, because there's so much movement. The sink,
mm-hmm.
Sinker ball guys have heavier balls. Pedro, obviously, you know, he's got the, you know, he throws hard. Tom Gordon threw hard, too. I mean, he was one of the guys. He had a short arm, you know, where it just seemed like the ball came out of nowhere and it was right there, you know. Clemens, I caught Clemens my first year here in 90, I think his last year was 97. Was his last year here in 97?
99, maybe it is. I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I think I caught him in spring training.
Did
and
you get a phone call there?
Yeah, can you hold 1 second?
Sure, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, we'll finish up here anyhow. Yeah. So you had a chance to catch Clemens.
Yes.
That's in the bullpen or in a...
Yeah, it was in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And after I was done catching it, I got him to sign the ball for me.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then was that same thing with Pedro working out in the bullpen?
Yeah, Pedro in the bullpen. And, you know, during early spring training, we have, you know, simulated games where
yeah.
we're pitching into each other and, you know, that type of stuff. And I caught him there, too.
So then you were actually giving him signals at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Calling pitches. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Shake you off much?
Well, you know, you know what, at that there's a routine at that point, you know, where they're throwing, you know, five fastballs and then they'll throw five breaking
yeah.
balls and, you know, that type of stuff. So, I mean, it wasn't really me working Pedro, you
right.
know.
Then how about, you did catch Wakefield some.
Yes, in spring.
So, yeah, it just didn't work that particular game that Jimmy
right.
decided to make the switch and stuff. But
yeah.
you had caught the knuckle or some in the bullpen and
yeah.
out and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were just up those two times, right? You didn't get a walk or...
Nope, that's it.
Just twice, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the books right now. It's 0 for 2 with 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, well, you're in the books, though.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's one thing that there's about 200 million people would like to join you. Well, let's hope you get back in the books again this coming year.
I appreciate it.
That'd be great. Listen, thanks for taking so much time here.
No problem.
And good luck.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay. Bye.